Raised Sports is a proud member of the Storyhanger Podcast Network. For more information, go to storyhanger.com. Previously on Raised Sports.
It was cool at first. Like, when the first agent reached out, I was like, wow, this is cool. Like, maybe I'll come out of the fall league with an agent's name. And I get it. I respect it 100%. But at the end of the day, it is just kind of like a hustle. I'd be lying if I told you and thought it'd be going this well. The changeup's been a game changer. The curveball's been good. I have more strikeouts with my changeup and curveball than I do my fastball. And then he texts back, well, tell him you're going to sign with Scott and you can just leave the meeting. He was like kidding, obviously, but they can grind out every dollar that I'm worth. You've been selected at All-Star Game. Congratulations. You know, the stars kind of aligned that day. Just so happened that against the best prospect in the fall league, I throw my best curveball ever on the biggest stage of the fall league, and it's just like cool. Just a pretty lucky slash awesome moment that no matter what happens from here, I'll have forever.
Every young baseball player dreams of taking the field in the major leagues. But even the best find out quickly that it takes more than dreaming to get there. It takes talent, hard work, and even a little bit of luck.
There's times where I've, you know, kind of had things planned in my head and like expected them to go a certain way, and they normally don't.
Welcome to Season 2 of the Raised Sports Podcast, in which we'll go deep into the minor leagues and follow a prospect as he works towards what he hopes will be a shot at the big leagues.
Organization's going to test me, and if I can hold up, then great. If not, then they'll find somebody else, and that's kind of the nature of the business.
He'll endure long bus trips and short paychecks. He'll tinker with his game as the competition gets tougher, and he'll battle through the aches and pains that come with a long season.
It's just part of the game. I mean, playing a little bit banged up, I mean, you're never going to feel 100%, you know, in a 140-game season.
And along the way, he'll constantly look for any edge to improve his game, to impress, to find a way to advance up the minor league ladder.
When I'm my best is when I'm not thinking too much and I'm just out there to embarrass the hitter. For the rest of my career, just out to show the world.
And a swing and a miss, strike three. Pumps the fastball past Benson up in the zone.
Episode 12, The Stars Aligned. I caught up with Cole Uvula on October 28th as he and his fiancée Kayla Andrus worked their way back home to Western Washington. The Arizona Fall League had ended 2 days prior, and with it, the 2019 season. The surprise Seguros had reached the championship game, losing to the Salt River Rafters. Cole didn't pitch in the game, but that was okay. Overall, the 6 weeks or so he had spent in the league had been a success. He had faced some of the best baseball prospects in the world and shown that he belonged among them. Now, it was time to head home.
Kayla and I are just driving through Boise. After the championship game, we drove up to Vegas, stayed a night in Vegas. You know, went out and got some nice dinner together and just enjoyed each other's company and saw the city. And then we got up yesterday morning and drove all the way through Nevada, up through Twin Falls, Idaho, into Boise.
We talked for a bit as they drove, and Cole reflected on the Arizona experience. The cell connection would occasionally cut out, but one thing came through crystal clear. The 2019 season had been an eye-opening experience for Cole, and one moment in particular had been an eye-opening for many others who follow minor league baseball. That moment came in the Arizona Fall League All-Star Game. Being chosen by the Texas Rangers to play in the Fall League was a huge honor for Cole. Being selected to the All-Star Game was even bigger. As Cole said in Episode 11, the league itself is an All-Star Game. Now he was deemed worthy of yet another challenge, playing against the best of the best. It was a thrill for him, and in the lead-up to the game on October 12th, Cole felt something he says he doesn't usually feel when it comes to baseball games.
I was like actually for really the first time all year, like really nervous the day leading up to it. Like I just had like butterflies and kind of like, you know, like anxiousness about it. Just, you know, and it was exciting and really cool. I mean, it was, I think there was like over 3,000 fans there, which most of the Fall League games got like 300.
Among those fans were several people important to Cole. While his parents couldn't make it, they had bought a plane ticket for Kayla so she could attend. There was also a friend of Cole's from the poker world, who also happened to work as a baseball scout, who had been assigned to scout the game. He would be seeing Cole pitch live for the first time. On top of this, a couple of pitcher friends of Cole's, Sean Chandler, a fellow Rangers farmhand, and Nathan Bates, a college teammate from Georgia State and a member of the Angels organization, also came out to watch him play. Cole was told he would enter in the fifth inning, and he was anxious. But once it came time for him to pitch, the nerves kind of just melted away.
Once I got out there, I wasn't really nervous. I actually was very calm, and I felt like it was weird because the outing actually I had after this, I was really rushed and trying to overthrow and trying to do way too much. But for whatever reason, on that stage, I was like probably the calmest and the best I've been all fall league. So that was cool for me. I mean, honestly, it's just like a confidence thing where it's like, you know, I mean, it's good to be in those situations so that when they come up in the future, like bigger moments, I have that to refer back to, you know, and how I felt then. And yeah, I mean, it was just, it was awesome.
So Cole came into the game to start the fifth.
Representing the Rangers here, and he gets to face a tough spot in the East order.
The first batter he faced was Andreas Giménez, the number 3 rated prospect in the New York Mets farm system.
One of the things that's great about the Fall League in a game like this is, you know, we spend a lot of time, and rightfully so, on top prospects like Andreas Giménez. But then you have a guy like Cole Uvula, a fifth-year college senior in the Fall League. These guys who just far exceed expectations.
Giménez hit .371 in the Fall League, but Cole got ahead of him, then, with a 1-2 count, coaxed a routine fly ball to left field for the first out.
He had a .160 batting average against for the whole year. I mean, that's just silly. So this is a great opportunity to see if it'll play.
Giménez to drive to left center, but slicing toward Wilson. A scratch, that's not Wilson, that is Bubba Thompson into the game out there.
Next up was Geraldo Perdomo, an Arizona Diamondbacks farmhand who hit over .300 in the Advanced A California League and .316 in the Fall League. Cole needed just 3 pitches to strike him out, blowing him away with a fastball. Then, up came Joe Adell.
Joe Adell is already considered the top prospect in the Angels farm system.
Adell was a first-round pick of the Angels in 2017, and he had quite a resume. He was not only the top-rated Angels prospect, but the highest-rated prospect present in the Fall League, ranked number 5 in all of baseball. Cole was well aware of it, too.
Every time he comes up to the plate, they put that on the scoreboard that he's number 5. And I know he was the highest on the pipeline in the Fall League. The 1 through 4 weren't there.
During the 2019 season, Adell had impressed the Angels so much that they promoted him twice. First, from Advanced A, which was Cole's level, to AA. Then later, to AAA, just one level below the big leagues. Cole had faced Adell previously in the Fall League, getting him to ground out, so he had some confidence as the heralded prospect dug into the batter's box. Cole's first pitch was taken for ball 1. The second pitch also missed the strike zone, setting the slugger up with a great hitter's count.
I got behind 2-0, and just had to come to him, and pretty much honestly just lucky he fouled my fastball back. Then I threw a changeup that he also fouled back.
Fouled back by Adell. You got to figure this is last at bat. He's really emptying the tank right now.
Cole had battled back to even the count. Then he threw, I guess what we'll call, the pitch. And that's in quotes and in all capital letters. It was most likely the nastiest curveball he had ever thrown.
Adell has more raw power than anybody in the ballpark today.
Great breaking ball from Uvula gets him swinging in the dirt. And that ends the inning. So a 1-2-3 frame for the 40th round selection. Great work in the Fall Stars game from the Rangers farmhand.
You know, the stars kind of aligned that day. Just so happened that against the best prospect in the Fall League, I throw my best curveball ever on the biggest stage of the Fall League. And it's just like, cool. Just a pretty lucky slash awesome moment that no matter what happens from here, I'll have forever.
It was a big moment, but it wasn't clear initially that that one pitch, that one curveball, would be that big a deal. It was a nice pitch, to be sure, but Cole says it didn't really feel any different to him. It didn't necessarily stand out as anything other than a really nice curveball. So Cole went on with his night. He went out to dinner with Kayla and his friend, Sean Chandler, and his girlfriend. He received a few text messages congratulating him on his outing, but he wasn't blowing up or anything. It was a good night. But then things started happening. The day after the game, Jonathan Mayo of MLB Pipeline published an article on the top 10 performers of the Fall Stars game. He put Cole at number 9 on his list, which in itself was pretty cool. But what he wrote made a lot of people stop and kind of blink, make sure they had actually read it correctly. Mayo wrote that the curveball that struck out Adell had a spin rate of 3,379 RPM. Quote, of curveballs tracked by StatCast during the major league season, only 4.6% had spin rated at 3,000 plus RPM. Uvula threw another curve with a 2,965 RPM spin rate for good measure. End quote. That little blurb in Mayo's article kind of changed things for Cole. It wasn't so much that he had struck out Joe Adell in the All-Star game that impressed people. It was that spin rate number. That number, 3379, got people's attention. And for a moment, it seemed like everybody was talking about him.
You haven't heard of him unless you're a deep-cut Rangers fan.
A Rangers pitching prospect, Cole Uvula.
40th round pick out of Georgia Gwinnett College.
Who is Cole Uvula?
Mayo later included Cole in another article on the top breakout performers of the Arizona Fall League, again mentioning the spin rate on his curveball. Matt Myers and Mike Petriello talked about Cole on the MLB StatCast podcast, and Mayo and fellow reporter Jim Callis brought him up on the MLB Pipeline podcast as well.
If you like spin rate, Cole Uvula is your guy.
Y'all will have a new pet cat if Cole Uvula comes up next year. I believe that's a good thing.
He got Joe Adell on a curveball that had a spin rate of over 3,300 RPM.
3,379 RPM. That's really good.
Of all curveballs in Major League Baseball tracked by StatCast, only 4.6% had spin rates of over 3,000 RPM.
We're talking about guys like Seth Lugo, Ryan Pressly, and Garrett Richards.
That is a big league outpitch right now.
There's clearly something there, and clearly the Rangers think that this guy could be part of their big league bullpen next year.
That breaking ball was just absolutely nasty.
Here's to you, Cole Uvula. I hope we see you in the majors soon.
As crazy as it is, I mean, that curveball, kind of the one curveball I threw kind of defined my whole fall league. I mean, it's what has gotten like all the articles and attention and kind of people talking, kind of put my name out there. So I kind of joked with some other people that how funny it would have been if I just threw another fastball and threw a changeup and got him out rather than throw that curveball. Nobody would still know who I am. So funny that it worked out that way.
To get more of a perspective of the national viewpoint on Cole, I spoke with Jim Callis of MLB Pipeline. The Rangers are among the teams he covers, and he's also responsible for covering prospects out of Georgia, where Cole played his college ball. But Jim is pretty straightforward. He makes it clear that he didn't know who Cole was until the rosters for the Arizona Fall League had come out. The reason for this is simple. With more than 1,200 players drafted every year, in addition to every minor leaguer already on the teams he covers, it's impossible to be up on all of them.
When I was at Baseball America for many years, we would go, we would rank the top 500 players in order, but we would also do state lists. So if I had Georgia for Baseball America, I'd probably rank the top 50 players in Georgia. So, you know, maybe like, you know, if somebody had seen the arm and mentioned him to me, I would have, you know, thrown him on the end of the list. But, you know, at MLB Pipeline, we don't do the super crazy deep state list, and we do an overall top 200. So in general, a 24-year-old guy who missed a couple of years with Tommy John surgery is not going to get mentioned to me by scouts. You know, I didn't have him on my radar, and scouts, the guys I talk to, always do a nice job of kind of, you know, telling me about guys, hey, you need to know about this guy. But my main focus, I guess, would be on the first, you know, 10, 12 rounds, guys who might come up on the first 2 days when we're broadcasting at MLB Network. So the 24-year-old who, you know, like I said, missed 2 years. I mean, he's got to be one of the older players drafted in recent memory. There aren't too many 24-year-olds who even get drafted.
When Jim saw Cole's name on an Arizona Fall League roster, he started researching, asking around. He noted that Cole had a high strikeout rate, but he also noticed the high walk rate. And most of all, what stuck out to him was Cole's age. Like he said, 24-year-olds don't often get drafted, so the tendency might be to dismiss a 25-year-old in A-ball, even if he is striking out a ton of batters. And another thing that kind of kept Cole from getting noticed is that the Rangers are known for developing relief pitchers, and they have a lot of good ones in their system.
I don't know what they're doing, but they're doing a great job. They have a ton of these relievers with just crazy numbers. You know, not just Cole, but Joe Barlow, who didn't even get protected on the 40-man roster, Emmanuel Clase, DeMarcus Evans, you know, and just on and on and on. And so he wasn't even really on my radar this summer that much. You know, I mean, I noticed the strikeout rate, but it's like, okay, he's 25 in A-ball, you know, what have you. And I really didn't know much about him until we do an annual, you know, for the organizations we cover, we do kind of an Arizona Fall League overview. And when I saw he was on the roster, I tracked down some scouting information on him at that point. You know, pretty crazy stuff for a guy who, like I said, is probably one of the older players drafted in recent memory and was a 40th round pick in a 40 round draft.
This is why the opportunity of playing in the Fall League was so big for Cole. It gave him a chance to stand out in the crowd, to show what he could do, and to be seen as a talented player and not just an older pitcher coming off Tommy John surgery. Then, when people saw what he could do with their own eyes, and when they saw the StatCast numbers on his curveball, that's exactly what happened. He stood out. And all of a sudden, Cole's age didn't matter so much anymore.
The curveball is just a crazy curveball. And if you go to our site, like you search these stories, we actually have a clip of it. I mean, it, you know, starts off above the belt and just dives in the dirt, and Joe Adell looks pretty hopeless against it. And then, I mean, it's not like he's just a guy who is spinning curve after curve after curve. I mean, he's got a mid-90s fastball with some spin and good finish to it, too. So, I mean, it's two swing and miss pitches. You know, there's a scout, one of my favorite scouts, when he used to talk about young pitchers, you know, he'd joke, he's like, well, they don't check ID on the mound. And I guess Cole's at the other extreme of that, too. You know, like, nobody's going to care how old he is if he keeps throwing like that.
Having seen the numbers, having seen him with his own eyes, Jim has Cole on his radar now. He sees some things Cole needs to work on, but the sky is the limit.
I think he's got to throw more strikes is the big thing. But, I mean, the quality of stuff's pretty good. And, I mean, it's not, you know, like I said, I had never even heard about the guy till the Fall League. And, I mean, now, I mean, a year after getting taken in the 40th round, you know, you can look and see, you know, hey, this guy might wind up in the big leagues. Like, he's got a legitimate shot. It's not just, oh, this random 40th round guy. It's legit.
The sudden burst of attention in the wake of the Fall Stars game was an interesting thing for Cole. It was exciting to receive recognition in the wake of so much hard work. But Cole is always pushing forward, always thinking of ways he can improve, always preparing for the next challenge, which he hopes will be yet another promotion in the spring, to AA Frisco. He knows that while the attention is great, it won't mean anything if he doesn't continue to pitch well.
It was explained to me by Tucker, Derek Tucker, is like, you know, moving up and getting an opportunity in the big leagues is all, honestly all about momentum. you know, getting people talking about you, always being kind of like the this month's hotness, or like, you know, like the buzz of camp and things like that, and that just kind of snowballs into like opportunities. Obviously, all I can go do is be myself, you know, but just to have that moment where you kind of are the buzz, it kind of helps with that momentum on top of like gaining confidence and pitching well. When you combine all three of those things, you know, it just becomes like what he said, is momentum. And I think I have a ton of momentum heading into next year. Again, it means nothing. You know, I still have to come get guys out. I still have to come and, you know, show up to all the meetings and you know, be a good teammate and you know, all that. But it's not a negative. So, I mean, it's good. It's exciting.
And so Cole has a plan for the off season. He wants to get into the weight room, which he says has always been a weakness of his. He wants to put on weight and to get stronger. He thinks being stronger will not only help him throw harder, mass equals gas, he says, but that it will help him improve his control.
Notice like when my command gets poor, it's typically like when I'm overthrowing. And the reason I'm overthrowing is because I'm trying to throw hard. So like the really simple idea of why getting stronger is like I don't have to put as much effort into throwing as hard, which is like, again, it's a lot more complex than that, but that's just like the idea is like the stronger you are, you don't have to, you know, like my 90% will become what my 100% is now. And then that obviously 90% intent is easier to control than 100% intent.
And he expects that carrying more weight will help him maintain his velocity as the season wears on, something that became a bit of an issue this year.
See all these guys on TV, like a big league body isn't a guy with like a for pitcher size, like not like a guy with like a six pack and like really like toned up, but they're just like bigger men, like more powerful guys. And I think like, you know, if I want to start looking towards that as a potential thing this year to like, you know, maybe make a run at pitching in the big leagues, like I just need, that's like the next step is just like transform my body into like a big league body. I also don't feel like I'm all that far off. I'm still like 6'4", almost 210 pounds. So, I mean, if I could be like 6'4", like 225 and just like stronger, I think that's like a realistic and important goal for me.
And so Cole's goal is clear. His first full season took him from Class A to Advanced A to the Arizona Fall League. If his second full season begins in Double A, he believes he'll then be within reach of the promised land. And Jim Callis agrees that that's a possibility.
Based on what he did in A-ball this year, based on, you know, what he did in the Fall League, and the fact that he was 25 all season, like, I would assume they're going to try to move him pretty quickly. Like I would think he would start next year in Double A, and if he does well, like, you continue moving him up.
When we began telling this story, it started with Cole and Kayla in the car, driving across the country, monitoring the draft as they went, just hoping someone would take a chance on him. That hope nearly disappeared when the Rangers drafted a quarterback in the 39th round, only to be restored at the very last minute. Now, it was just over a year later, and here they were again, on the road, in the car, still heading home, but with an eye on bigger things ahead. And now carrying with them a feeling that seemed a little bit stronger than hope, a feeling of confidence with a big dose of expectation.
Today we're driving to Moses Lake, Washington to see my dad and stepmom and say hi to them, and then, you know, hang out with them for maybe like an hour or two, eat a little bit or something, and then head back to Kent and start the off season.
Thanks for listening to the Raised Sports Podcast. This episode was written and produced by me, Bob Harkins. Music credits go to Broke for Free and Punch Deck, and the theme song comes from DL Sounds. Thanks to Mike Petriello and the crew from MLB StatCast Podcast, as well as the gang from the MLB Pipeline Podcast for letting me use clips from their shows. Be sure to subscribe to both of those podcasts, because they do great work. Also, a special thank you to Jim Callis for his comments in this episode, including this one.
Like, it was funny. I know we talked about him on our podcast. I think we're talking about guys who kind of, you know, people, unknown players who kind of caught our eye, I think was probably the segment we were talking about. And then, like, I was like, wow, like, Cole Uvula actually has a podcast devoted to him. That's pretty cool.
Follow Jim on Twitter at JimCallisMLB, where he's pretty active. And check out his work at MLB Pipeline. They do a lot of cool stuff, including top 30 prospect lists for every team, which will be updated as spring training ramps up. Also, as Jim pointed out to me when we spoke, all of their work at MLB Pipeline, the articles, the videos, all of it is free. Now, as season 2 comes to a close, I'd like to wrap things up by thanking everyone who helped make this podcast possible. First and foremost, of course, I'd like to thank Cole Uvula for his willingness to take part in this project and for his openness throughout what has been a really interesting and enjoyable journey. He took quite a bit of time out of his routine to talk to me throughout the summer and into fall, and I'm very grateful for that. And if you want to get updates on Cole's progress in the future, he is at Cole Uvula on both Twitter and Instagram. I'd also like to thank several other people for taking time to talk to me this season. Their insight was invaluable in bringing a deeper perspective to Cole's story. They are, in order of appearance, Kayla Andrews, Steve Uvula, Derek Tucker, Rob Hill, Matt Present, and Jim Callis. Last and not least, I'd like to thank you, the listeners, for tuning in, for sharing us on social media, for telling your friends about the show. You are the engine keeping this podcast moving forward, and you are ultimately why I make these stories. I look forward to your continued support, and if you have feedback, good or bad or anywhere in between, feel free to reach out on social media or send me a note to raisedsports@gmail.com. I'd love to hear from you. I'm Bob Harkins, and this has been season 2 of Raised Sports. Thank you so much for listening.